the recipe of life. If you've been with us for a while, you've probably noticed that I've mentioned this before. One of the things I admire most about my mom is the way she cooks. Not just is she a delicious cook, but it's the way she cooks. She seems to glide through the kitchen. No stress, no hurry. She can talk while she cooks. If you'd like to help, well, you can set the table. Otherwise, she's got this. If 12 people show up unexpectedly, she can throw a delicious meal together out of leftovers in about 30 or 40 minutes. And again, it's no stress. Inevitably, she'll be asked for her recipe. And she'll think, well, now let me think a minute. Okay, I started with some butter, sauteed some onions. I threw a little bit of this and a little bit of that from the refrigerator. I added some garlic, some other spices. Well, what other spices? Well, you know, whatever I thought it needed at the moment. How much butter? Enough. How much garlic? Oh, not too much. And you see, Mom, she cooks by the Braille method. What it smells like, what it tastes like, what she feels like on any given day. Mom, God is a wonderful cook. And you are one of his creations. He knows just what to add, just what to hold back, what would be too much, and what would be enough. He's blended your ingredients for beauty, grace, endurance, charm, and admiration. You were created in such a way that others are going to ask him, Lord, now how in the world did you come up with that combination? Sugar, spice, but not everything nice. John chapter 21, verse 9. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many in the net, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come, have breakfast. Father, thank you for the way you do what you do. And thank you for our moms. And Lord, I pray that today would be everything that our ladies need. If there's joy in their heart, may they sing and have just a wonderful, sweet day. If there are some scars, we pray that healing and love would be applied to that as well. And if there's still some active wounds, we pray for the healing power of God to touch and help. But we pray for all of our ladies today that you will bless them, that you will heal them, that you will love them. This will be a great day, Lord, in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I would like to reassure the theologians among us this morning that I'm using our text by permission from the author today. I understand that I am stretching the text to fit my topic, which is a no-no, hermeneutically speaking. So please do not contact my professors from Bible college. But I do want you to know it's by permission. I'll tell you how it came about. I was in prayer one morning, and I was just musing before the Lord how each of us is such a blend. Experiences we've had, some bitter, some sweet, some good, some ugly. And what the Lord has done with all that. And I was just enjoying that before the Lord, how he can take everything, good and bad, and bring it together for good. And I just asked the Lord, I said, Jesus, I know when you were on earth you were a carpenter, but did you do any cooking while you were here? And he reminded me of this verse. He brought me back there. And it's at least one instance where Jesus was the cook for the day. You see, I get that Jesus was a, a carpenter. I've done a little woodworking myself, and I love the creative process. I love the thinking about what you want to do, starting with some raw materials, and it rarely goes the way you expect it to, but it's beautiful to watch it develop in front of you. So I get that the Creator God, when he chose a career early on earth, it was carpentry. And cooking reminds me of woodworking, at least the way I cook. I've never made soup the same way twice. I hardly ever follow a recipe as it's written. I guess I've gotten that off my mother. I cook by the Braille method and how I might be feeling on any given day. Ingredients, they're like supplies. Spices are kind of like tools. And you learn to know your tools. Spices like cinnamon, Worcestershire sauce, they're pretty powerful. So I use those quite sparingly. Garlic salt, paprika, I'm pretty liberal with those things. You better know what kind of onion you have before you add it to your soup. It's going to make quite a difference here. I taste, I add. I let it simmer and blend. I taste again. I wouldn't dare eat some of the ingredients I put into my creations on their own. They're disgusting. But when blended in with everything else, when allowed to simmer over time, it becomes delicious. My broccoli salad, you'll have a recipe here by the time you're done if you like, is a combination of mayonnaise and sugar and vinegar, sweet and sour. My wife taught me how to make that. And I like this as an example because if you put too much vinegar in, you can compensate by adding a little bit more of the sweet and vice versa. And that's what God does in our lives. Can't all be sweet. Thank God it's not all sour. But it's when it's blended together that he gets the result that he wants out of each one of our lives. How much sugar? Oh, not too much. How much vinegar? Just enough. You don't want to overdo it. Now, there's times when other people are not pleased with what I've cooked. But that's okay because I'm the cook. And as long as I'm pleased, well, then I'm pleased. There are things I now eat that I used to hate because the cook knew what she was doing. One particular illustration, it was years ago, I used to hate broccoli. Couldn't stand the smell of it cooking, didn't even care for the sight of it. But then at a Christmas dinner, Sister Leek made a broccoli stuffing casserole. And man, that thing was delicious. And ever since, I eat broccoli. I can even eat raw broccoli now. You see, she so expertly introduced me to a flavor I could not before stand. The cook helped me appreciate what I once did not like. Skill introduced me to a flavor I had become prejudiced against. And what I thought I would never accept on my plate has now become one of my favorites. Now, I imagine you're wondering, what in the world does this have to do with preaching? I am going to call that professor of his. Well, I hate to tell you, he's dead now. You know, it was a long time ago, so just have to complain to the Holy Spirit on my... But Jesus is the master cook, and you are the recipe that he's working on. Jesus broiled some fish and made some bread on a fire along the shore and invited the disciples to breakfast. Let that blow your mind. Jesus, Creator God, Lord of all the universe. He's got some stuff to do, wouldn't you agree? He took time to broil fish and bake some bread in anticipation of connecting with his boys at a very critical time in their development as ministers. Cooking is important. Amen. Eating is delightful. And I don't know if you ever take time to consider these kinds of things, but there's times when I wonder, God, why do we sleep so much? We're only given so much time. It goes by so quickly. You know, the average person sleeps for 28 years during their lifetime. Wow. I know one of them was the fourth grade for me, but 28 years. We sleep. So I think, well, Lord, what's this thing about sleep and eat, that we have to eat in order to survive? And I muse over all that kind of stuff. But here the Lord's showing us it's a good thing. And I think you'd agree with me. Eating is a wonderful thing. And it's a useful tool. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach, yeah. And I think maybe that has something to do with the ladies as well. Have you ever heard of a thing called chocolate? Huh? Yeah. They put it in candy. They put it in cake. Now, don't tell my wife I said this. She's still around. So, but every once in a while, I just know she needs a little chocolate. She could use a little bit of chocolate. I hope she's sleeping in this morning and catches the second service. I won't say it during that one. But yeah. But food is a wonderful adventure, communicator, connector, and Jesus used it. I'm willing to wager that that was the best fish and bread those disciples had ever eaten in their entire lives. Why do I say that? Because he's the master chef. He would have put just the right wood on the fire, used just the right blend of spices, and oh, the aroma of that fresh baked bread. I bet the guys, while they were still fishing, the aroma was coming out over the waves. And they'd been fishing, but boy, they're starting to get hungry now as they begin to smell the good food that's around that fire. No one blends the sweet and the sour so masterfully together as Jesus. No one anticipates the finished product like our Lord does. The disciples ate till they were satisfied, refreshed, strengthened. Can you picture them saying, hey, thanks for breakfast, Jesus. Appreciate that. I don't know if he used to do this when they were, you know, when before he was crucified and so on. I mean, he had his disciples and so on. I know he took the towel and he washed their feet in different times on. But I just wonder how often the Lord did the cooking and just enjoyed being the host of these fellas. You see, he introduces flavors you never wanted to try, but does it so skillfully, the tragedies of your life help to define, instruct, and add value to you as a person. Can you look back on some of the oh no moments of your life and say, man, at the time they, whew. But yeah, they have helped to define, instruct, and add value to who I am. Mom, you're a creation of God. Your life is his way of blending unique ingredients together until the aroma is captivating and the finished product is irresistible. No one else looks like you, talks like you, smells like you, laughs just like you. You are irreplaceable to the people who love you. Now, you may fit a category, blonde, brunette, redhead. You may have changed categories a couple of times, but you are unique, a fascinating blend of mysteries and ever-changing styles. Your children are comforted by your voice and your touch, even as they repel from other people. They run to mom. Our little one, Hannah, cute little thing, best little baby I've ever seen. And she's very congenial with a lot of people. And she freely comes to me, Ma, and I, and spends a day or what have you. But when her mother comes in that door, you should see that little one light up. It just is a beautiful thing to behold. Your children are comforted by your voice, your touch, your love. Now, some of the things we cook stink while they're cooking. I remember coming home from school, and you open up the door, and oh no, cabbage, sauerkraut, broccoli. There's a wide variety of taste buds out there. Wasabi, curry, jalapeno peppers. To some of us, they, to others, they make our mouths water. Everybody's got a different taste. You see, Mom, you don't have to be beautiful to everyone. You don't have to be special from a distance. You have your own little fan club. And to them, you're the whole world. One of the joys of motherhood is to be special. Special to someone or some ones. My mom was so special. She would hear her name so often. Ever so often she would say, "That's it. I'm not Mom. I'm sick of hearing Mom. Call me Pete." So then for the rest of the day we'd say, "Hey Pete, hey Pete." And then repeat. I suppose those would be the onion, garlic, and Worcestershire sauce moments of motherhood. But do you remember the first time you held your baby? Do you remember that first step that they took on their own? What a momentous occasion. You gloried in their giggles as you tickled their belly, as you gave them little strawberries on their neck. I don't think there's a more beautiful sound in all of nature than a baby laughing. It's just awesome. Maybe you've lived long enough to see them walk across a platform and receive a diploma. Or maybe you're old enough that your babies have now had babies. Dear, there's nothing more precious than grandbabies. Amen. They're so much more special than babies, that's why we call them grand. Yeah. From time to time, the Lord will put something on your plate that you wish wasn't there, that you grate against, that you so desperately want to change the entree. But in time, even those bitter things become sweet as they blend with the sweeter days of your life, and they become part of who and what you are. You never pictured yourself digging up worms in the backyard for a science project, or spending the night in the hospital next to the bed of a sick child, or hosting a pajama party for 13 preteen girls. Weddings are so deceptive, aren't they? You dress up so beautifully. Your hair is done just so. nails perfect. They sit you at the front and they serve you. Sort of like a last meal, isn't it? After the kids come along, you style your hair for convenience rather than style. You dress for survival rather than glamour. You drive around in a minivan rather than ride around in the back of a limousine. But it's good. And it gets more delicious with time. To be a mother is to serve, but it's also to receive. You learn so much. You see so much. You become so much more than what you started out to be. You never did get to Paris, but you did get to hold your daughter after she suffered her first broken heart. You never made it to a professional baseball stadium, but you saw your son get his first hit. You used to be afraid of flies, but now God help the hairy spider that comes anywhere near your baby. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are wondrously and carefully trained. You are mom. Jesus, the master chef, knows what he's doing. And he has created something beautiful, something glorious. I hope you realize today that you need his help. I hope you dedicate your life to his honor and glory and to pointing your kids his direction. There's no job harder with more responsibility and less positive feedback. There's no job sweeter with more rewards and a longer lasting value. You ladies, your mom. A while back on Word FM, you may have caught this yourself, they were interviewing a gentleman, and he was talking about a moment he had with God. And he said he was looking back over his life, and he was having a time of apologizing to God. Lord, I'm sorry I'm not more of this, and I'm sorry I did that, and you must be so disappointed, and I'm so sorry, and you just going on like that before the Lord. And the Lord interrupted him and said, Brian, let me tell you what I think about you. And he got ready for this profound theological moment. And he just sweated a mite waiting for God's judgment or correction. And the Lord said, I like the way you smile. And I thought, yeah, that sounds like something God would say to us when we're in that time, we're in that moment. And I'd like to say that to you this morning, Mom. God loves to see you smile. He loves to see you enjoy your life. What has been, what will be, but what is right now? Can you smile? This morning as I woke up and stepped out the door, there was a bank of clouds and just a prettiest shade of pink-red off of the sunrise off of them. As I drove in on 194 coming to Wise Market, I looked out across the fields, and normally I can see all the way to Punkin Hill from that vantage point, but there were banks of clouds in each of the valleys, and there were a few things peeking out here and there, but it was just so gorgeous as you looked out across the fields. And then as I came up the driveway and came in the back, I walked in, and Steve and Sam were in the kitchen. I said, did you see the rainbow that's outside? They said, no. So we, little kids, you know, the three of us, we ran back outside to admire the rainbow in the sky. And God is always doing that. And it takes a lot of effort on our part to be sad, to be filled with regret, to worry and stress when God is doing everything to lift us. And I'm not down on anybody, you know, for having the blues or whatever. I understand we go through stuff. But Mom, I just want you to know today, God loves you. And everything that has happened in your life, some of it might have been bitter, some of it might have been hard, but God knows what He's doing. And the story's not over yet, and the soup hasn't been served yet. Trust Him. Enjoy today. Be thankful for all of the good moments and times. And what first still tastes a little bitter, understand the sweet is coming. When God is done, we'll all bow our knee. We'll all confess with our tongue, You are Lord. You did it so well. Thank You, God, for all that You have done. Would you stand with me this morning?